You know and love the Scrubble Stars at the Town Center, Fleming Island, and Atlantic Beach. Now get ready for 4 new locations scrubbing soon this year, featuring Kernan, San Jose, Racetrack Road, and Oakleaf. Scrubbles, trust the bow tie. You'll know quality once you arrive.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, good to have you with us. Another Thursday edition, Mr. Chubby's Pontevedra. Right now, up until 8 o'clock, going to have a lot of fun. And are you kidding me? We are 2 hours away from the NFL football tonight, Dallas and Pittsburgh. And they will do it in Canton, Ohio, where both teams are being represented in this year's Hall of Fame inductions. Hey, just think, 1 year from now, Tony Boselli will be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Will Jacksonville perhaps be there for a game in Canton? Yeah, I'm not going to recommend an extra preseason matchup or preseason game. Used to be 5 preseason games. Now we know it's 3. In the preseason, after not playing any last year, but I'm just throwing it out there. Who knows? Could be the case coming up as early as 2022. I fully expect that Tony Boselli will be enshrined into the Football Hall of Fame when the voting takes place. And, of course, the announcement comes the Saturday night before the Super Bowl. That will be in early February. Tonight it's early August, and we are live in Pontevedra. We invite you to come on by alongside R.J. Saunders and Michael Phillips. My name is Rick Ballew. We are here tonight till 8. Mr. Chubby's, 2-for-1 drafts, 2-for-1 pitchers. That includes Miller Lite, $3 Wells, $3 Wines. And, I mean, it's on. You know, preseason football tonight, an opportunity to see some things. I don't know if Dak will go tonight. My guess would be no. We'll see what goes on with Big Ben. Are they going to sit him out? I would imagine so. You know, I asked Urban Meyer if Trevor Lawrence would play 1 week from Saturday when the Cleveland Browns come here. And it's a totally new world for Urban Meyer. He's never had preseason football before. He's never had to make cuts before. I mean, Urban Meyer, no matter where he was, Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, Ohio State, you went through camp and bam, late August, early September, you had a game and there wasn't any, you know, rehearsal, if you will, or any preseason. So this is all new to him. You know, he told me yesterday he'll lean heavily on Daryl Bevel. He'll lean heavily on Brian Schottenheimer for the answer to that particular question. And he said that at this particular point, they have yet to have that dialogue. And I think it's a good answer. I think it's a safe answer, because what if Trevor Lawrence has a real good workout tomorrow? And again, it was an off day for Jacksonville, if you're wondering. 7 days of training camp are in the books, 2 in pads, an off day today. They're back at it tomorrow. They're back at it on Saturday. And then we're going to have a scrimmage for you coming up on Sunday morning, which we are going to broadcast. Very excited about that, an opportunity to see what this football team is really all about. But depending on what Trevor Lawrence does, whether it's real good, average or below average, will that have any effect at all on whether or not he plays against Cleveland? On the other side, I don't think the Browns will play Baker Mayfield. I just don't think you're going to get any of that with starting quarterbacks in this first preseason game. Again, I could be dead wrong. Only time will tell. But there's a lot of things that we wonder out loud about. Urban, the transition from college to the NFL. This is one of the many questions. 3 preseason games. He's going to lean on his staff, an NFL, you know, rich in years around the league, in the National Football League, for their expertise on what to do coming up 1 week from Saturday. All right, we got much to do tonight. Looking forward to this the next couple of hours. We're going to dive around the division a little bit. Blaine Bishop's going to join us coming up in about 30 minutes. Love talking to Blaine. Obviously, he is part of the Tennessee Titans radio network. Tennessee was abysmal last year. defensively. All right, Mike Vrabel was calling the plays, and he's given that responsibility now to Shane Bowen. And, you know, the fans aren't happy about it. They only had, what, 19 sacks? They were like 24th in points allowed. You know, they went out and they got guys like Bud Dupree. They went out and they got guys like Janoris Jenkins. They went out and they drafted another corner in Caleb Farley, who, you know, has, for the most part, been unable to give it a go so far. Of course, they made major news by acquiring Julio Jones, who's missed the last couple of practices. So we'll find out what's going on there. And, you know, the local product, Derrick Henry, is just so amazing. But he, you know, had 400 touches a year ago. He carried it for more than 2,000 yards. How much longer can he do this? And, yes, I'm aware of his offseason workouts. They are legendary. I've said all along, I think Tennessee's the team to beat in the division. They've gotten better every year under Mike Vrabel. Third place, second place, first place, in that order in 3 years in the AFC South. 9 wins, 10 wins, 11 wins. They lost last year during the opening weekend of the playoffs. So we'll see where they're at now. We're going to do that coming up. Also, we'll go to Indianapolis. They've been ripped apart with injuries. Mike Chappell of Fox 59 will join us. That's coming up tonight at 7 o'clock. Carson Wentz is out. Quentin Nelson is out. It's now Jacob Eason under center. For how long does he believe they're going to make a move? So, you know, we'll spend time doing that, diving in and around the AFC South. Things scheduled tonight with Tennessee and Indianapolis. I want to do Houston tomorrow. I want to mix that in with all the Jaguar talk on a Friday. But, you know, Deshaun Watson has missed the last couple of workouts. And there's been a lot reported that teams are still interested, particularly the Philadelphia Eagles. Okay, would Philly be willing to give up what is going to be a huge amount? All right, do you give up 3 first-round picks or 4 first-round picks? Would you consider doing that and bringing in Deshaun Watson to that market with all of this that is hanging over his head? Again, he's not going to settle out of court. This thing is going to go through the system, civilly speaking, but he's got 22 situations that he is going to have to take a look at. Rusty Harden, his lawyer, said, no, not going to happen that way. Will anything happen criminally? I don't know at this point. I think the fact that the NFL has investigated this for more than 4 months and allowed him to report to camp, he was not placed on the exempt list, speaks of how the investigation is gone. And that at least to this particular point, they haven't found a reason to pull the plug on him. Could that change any day now? Absolutely. And that's where the risk comes into play for Houston, or in whatever team ends up making a trade, if they make a trade for Deshaun Watson. I also think it's interesting that, you know, you got the same agent. We all saw those photos a few years ago when it was Jalen Ramsey and Deshaun Watson, and, you know, when you think of Jalen now, I'm sure the first thing that comes to mind for all Jaguar fans are the way that he quit on you, all right? He quit on the fans. He quit on the city. He quit on his teammates. He quit on everyone. All right, we heard now that he went on a podcast a few weeks ago, and I guess he really outed, or I don't guess, he did really out former general manager Dave Caldwell. I'll admit, I was one of those that was under the impression that it was Coughlin, okay? And again, nothing leaked from that room, a room that consisted of Shad Khan, Tony Khan, Tom Coughlin, and Dave Caldwell. But, you know, it took a couple of years. And finally, Jalen Ramsey said it. Now, listen, he's a liar, right? So we just because he said it, it doesn't necessarily mean it's true. I mean, he lied about his back. He did so for 3 weeks. So he lied and he quit. So if he goes on a podcast, just because he says it doesn't necessarily mean that it's true. You have to take that into consideration. But when you look at what's going on right now with Deshaun Watson, he's missed 2 practices because of calf and ankle tightness. Let's put 2 and 2 together here. Same agent, Here's a guy who's wanted out of Houston the entire offseason. All of a sudden now, he's pulling himself out of practice. It does make you wonder, considering what happened right here in town with Jalen Ramsey. All right, coming up here in just a couple of minutes, I'm going to do something new here on Thursday. I'm going to do it throughout training camp. I'm going to do it throughout the preseason, and I'm going to call it five ups and two downs. Why? I don't know. I just think it sounds pretty cool. All right, and it's about five players that I believe so far through the first seven practices in training camp have performed very well, okay, above what I thought they would do. Well, it's going to give you a couple of guys who have performed below that. Now, why five up, two down? Well, I'll tell you why. I'm a freaking positive guy. You know what I'm saying, RJ Saunders? I mean, I'm not going to go 3-3 here or 5-5. I'm going five up and two down.
Absolutely.
And if you have a problem with that, bang me on the text line. It's 641-1010. We outside! Yes, we're going five up, two down. And that's just the way I'm going to roll. And I got to say that when you watch training camp, these are professionals. They're supposed to look good. This is the very best of the best. So when you're watching individual drills, you know, quarterback to wide receiver, taking the handoff, doing whatever it is, they are supposed to look good. So I'm going to give you five ups. I'm going to give you two downs. I'm going to do that right here on the other side as we get things started here live from Mr. Chubby's. Hey, I got to offer up condolences to J.R. Richard. What a you know, what a sad story. You talk about peaks and valleys. This guy threw flat gas, man. This guy was up around 100 miles an hour. He was a monster in Houston. And, you know, he struck out, like, what, 321 batters one year. I think it was in 1979. He was electrifying. He went out there every fifth day in the non-pitch count era and just brought it. And he was underpaid, and you know, he was scammed. He lost a ton of money in a business adventure. He lost a ton of money in a divorce. I mean, after all, J.R. Richard was the guy throwing the fastballs. If his wife's gonna leave him, she should take half that money. That, folks, is the American way. And he got crushed there. He had a stroke, which was you know, very untimely because he was still a young man. He ended up being homeless in Houston. He ended up living under a bridge, which every time I hear that story, it just makes me sick. Where in the hell is Major League Baseball? Where the hell are his former teammates? How can you allow a guy like that to sleep under a bridge in Houston until his pension actually came in one year later? Always admired an enormous man. And J.R. Richard, and he passed last night at the age of 71. Old school baseball fans certainly remember him. He was one of a kind. And it's, you know, it's one of those deals you look at it and say, how much more could he have really brought this game? We lost him way too early in Major League Baseball. And again, he passed last night at the age of 71. All right, on the other side, five ups, two downs. We're going to get right to it. Training camp, a day off, back at it tomorrow. Three straight days. Fans are allowed to go Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. My understanding is you got to go to Jaguars.com, register, do all that type of stuff. But I'd like to see you out there Friday, Saturday, and, of course, the scrimmage coming up on Sunday. Live from Mr. Chubby's, Blue and Saunders. Come on by. Two-for-one drafts, two-for-one pitchers. That includes Miller Lite. $3 wells, $3 wines. We're here tonight till 8 o'clock.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, live from Mr. Chubby's in Ponte Vedra. Tonight's show brought to you by Key Buick GMC. Right now, 0% up to 72 months. Plus, receive 500 Buick and GMC loyalty dollars. Say up to $7,250 on select Buicks in stock. Have a Buick Enclave. Love it. Get the Buick Enclave veneer. Also, home of the $99 per month lease on Buick Encores available right now. Whenever you purchase a brand new vehicle from Key, whether it's a Buick or GMC, it always comes with that lifetime powertrain warranty. Visit them tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right across the street from Tinseltown, South Side and Cape. All right. I know why now I came up with 52, right? For the first time in 29 years, I'm actually going to reference my old high school football team. My former coach is one of those guys who literally ran three plays. And our cadence was simple. 5-2, red, and jet. And one of those three was when the ball was going to be snapped. And, yes, we actually played a wingback offense. I was a wingback. If you don't know what that means, Google it. But it was stupid. And the only thing to get out of it, it was 5-2. So I'm doing that today. Five ups, two downs. I'm going to do it each and every week. Okay? And I want to say this. You know, I'm leaving some of the obvious guys out, the guys that I've talked about, our radio station has talked about. I'm not going to mention Trevor Lawrence. I'm not going to mention James Robinson, Travis. I'm not going to do some of the obvious guys. I'm going to, as Urban Meyer would say, I'm going to take a deep dive, or at least somewhat of one, if that makes any sense. I'm going to begin my five ups so far, 7 days through training camp. I'm going straight to Laquon Treadwell. All right? I mean, I've just watched him. He's done it all. He can still move. He's only 25, 26 years of age. Let me see. He is 26. Just turned 26 June 14th. He can still run. You know he's got pedigree. He's a former first-round draft pick. I've watched him really high-point the ball. It doesn't matter who the quarterback has been. He has made some great catches so far in camp. It looks like his route running is absolutely there, and, you know, we'll get an opportunity to learn more about that as we move forward. My guess is this. Philip Dorsett is the fourth wide receiver. If there was a game this week, and I know Dorsett has been hampered with an injury, and he has missed the last couple of practices. I just think the trust factor is there, Meyer to Dorsett, in a very similar fashion that it's there with Carlos Hyde. My guess is that those two make the team, regardless of what happens in camp, because Urban Meyer believes that they are going to be able to help this football team. And if you go to four wide receiver sets, you know, you have Chenault, you have Jones, you have Chark, and I believe right now the football team would have Dorsett in as the fourth wide receiver. In my opinion, it is absolutely Laquon Treadwell. So I'm going to put him in right now as my first up so far during training camp. Number two, let's go to the defense. Devon Hamilton has been an absolute beast, okay? He has been a man-child. Now, I'm very impressed with Malcolm Brown. I'm very impressed with the addition of Robertson Harris. I think, you know, getting an opportunity to see J2Fele so far is going to be able to help out. And a guy on the edge like Jahard Ward, it's going to be interesting to see how those reps go with him and DeJuan Smoot and Kalevon Chaisson. If Chaisson's up and not outside, you know, as a Sam linebacker, we'll see. Joe Cullen seems to be very excited about this, mixing and matching and trying to send guys that you don't expect to be sent. And you know, let's face it, this football team right now is not good enough to beat you 11-on-11 if you play Todd Wash cookie-cutter defense, all right? You're going to have to disguise. You're going to have to make offenses guess and put them on their heels, not knowing what's coming. Devon Hamilton's been an absolute animal, okay? I watched him yesterday really get the better of Brandon Linder. And Linder, in this drill over the years, has always done really well. I noticed it last, you know, sled work and whatever it was that they were doing, obviously not in pads. And then the first couple of days that they have been on, he has been the most impressive defensive lineman to me, more than anyone else. I know Josh Allen gets all the hype, okay? I'm just throwing out Devon Hamilton, seven practices in. Stud so far in my world. Number three for my five ups, Ben Ellefson. Yeah, laugh, because I was laughing about this in minicamp. I was laughing about this in OTAs. I'm like, why does Urban Meyer keep mentioning Ben Ellefson? Well, this is the weakest position group on the football field, okay? No bones about it. outside of getting a pass rush, you just wonder, okay? We went through the numbers ad nauseum of Trevor Lawrence in his 3 years at Clemson, okay? Didn't throw to the tight end. The reputation of Brian Schottenheimer, we're going to get an opportunity to hear from either tomorrow or Saturday, not a tight end guy. Darrell Bevell, not a tight end guy. You bring in Chris Manhertz, who certainly does look the part as a blocking tight end, but who's going to catch footballs? James O'Shaughnessy had a good minicamp. He's been out. Ben Elveson all of a sudden is a guy that I think can do a number of things for you. He can block. He can be a wide receiving tight end. He can be an H-back or a fullback. Let's say it's fourth. Let's say it's third and one. Goal line. All right? In Houston. I'm going to say it's 17-14 Texans. 1 yard line. Here we go. Double tight. All right? Let's bring in Manhertz. Let's bring in O'Shaughnessy. You're taking out all the wide receivers. All of a sudden, you bring in Ben Ellison. You have him behind Trevor Lawrence and ahead of James Robinson. The snap to Lawrence, the give to Robinson. It pulls his way in. Touchdown, Jacksonville. And your lead blocker is Ben Ellison. He is the one guy who can do all of that. He is my third up. He has had a very good camp so far. Number four. Oh, my gosh, do I love this kid. I want to put myself out there. Are we taping right now? Phillips, are we taping back in the studio? RJ Saunders, are we taping back in the studio?
We are on wax.
I'm going to put myself on right now as the number one guy as far as the fan club for Andre Sisco. This guy has got such an opportunity to be a difference maker. He looks incredibly athletic, and there appears to be no lingering effects of the torn ACL. This could be the steal of this Jaguars draft. With all of the hype on Lawrence and ETN and certainly Walker Little, I was joking yesterday with John Osher. I mean, Walker Little's been so good so far, I think he deserves a veteran day off tomorrow. That's how good Walker Little has been. But I'm leaving guys like that out. I'm going to Andre Sisco. Really looks the part. Does he have a lot to learn? Absolutely. He's a rookie. But you can just tell by looking at him. He's the complete package. He's a center fielder. He's Willie Mays out there, for crying out loud. All right? I'm not going to say Ed Reed. I'm not going to go that far. But I'm going to give you Willie Mays back when he, patrolled the polo grounds. I love watching this guy. And he's my fourth up so far during Jaguars training camp. Number five, got right next to him, Shaq Griffin. And this is kind of a combo package because, all of a sudden, that 2017, 2018, those great defenses that Jacksonville had, you lost phenomenal football players. You also lost type A players and defensive leaders. They're all gone. I mean, who's the defensive leader on this football team right now? Miles Jack, sure. Are you going to tell me that Joe Schobert's a great defensive leader? Been here 1 year. You going to tell me Josh Allen's a great defensive leader? He was hurt last year. He's played 1.5 seasons. A lot of potential there, no doubt. But who's your defensive leader? Who's the guy who's going to ring the bell for you on that side of the field? His name is Shaq Griffin. This is a great teammate. This was a great signing. This is a guy that's going to help out this very young secondary. I mean, the way I'm looking at it right now, if C.J. Henderson returns next week, you have Henderson on one side, Shaq on the other, Tyson Campbell and nickel, Andre Sisco in center field, and Rayshon Jenkins. I mean, that's a totally new secondary outside of C.J. Henderson. And again, you got to get to the quarterback or all of this is not going to matter. But so far, Shaq Griffin playing many roles, wearing a lot of hats, including leadership on that defense and, just basically coming in and giving him a little bit of a presence no matter which way you break it down. Last year's defense was awful. All right, I'm going to give you two downs because we have Blaine Bishop standing by. Number one, Colin Johnson haven't seen what I wanted out of him. He had a good day yesterday with two red zone touchdowns. It was really his coming out party in camp. He didn't look it in minicamp. He hasn't looked it so far in training camp. Is he a late bloomer? Let's hope, because right now I think he's in danger of not making this team. I just talked about Dorsett at four. In my opinion, you know, Treadwell would be four. Well, and that's four and five. Agnew's on it as a wide receiver because he's a return guy. I think Jalen Camp's been better so far. So you need better things to begin here. Maybe it began yesterday for Colin Johnson. Number two is Jared Wilson. Now, he's been out. He's been on the reserve COVID-19 list. But he lost a lot there. I just talked about Andre Sisco. They spent money on Rudy Ford. And I don't think Andrew Wingard makes this team. I really don't. But who is going to be the final safety when it's all said and done? There's no allegiance here with Wilson and Urban Meyer or Joe Cullen. None whatsoever. A little bit maybe with Tim Walton, his position coach. Or actually, he's a safety. Walton more of a overall defensive backs, corners, if you will. He's a cornerback coach, Tim Walton, but even though he oversees the secondary. But, you know, Josh Jones, Daniel Thomas in his second year out of Auburn had a real good mini camp. Haven't seen as much of him in training camp. Jared Wilson, from an undrafted free agent to a ton of starts, right now you can make the case that he will be a starter, or you can make the case that he will not make the team. I think it's wide open for him in a contract year. So we'll see what happens. So there you go, my five ups. Laquon Treadwell, Devon Hamilton, Ben Ellefson, Andre Sisco, Shaq Griffin, my two downs, Colin Johnson and Jared Wilson. Your response on the text line brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. That number is 641-1010. You can also get me on Twitter, Baloo1010XL. Coming up next, let's go to Nashville. Let's get the very latest on training camp. Former NFL player Blaine Bishop goes into the night with Rick Baloo.
Into the Night with Rick Baloo on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Live from Mr. Chubby's in Ponte Vedra, room for you. Come on by. 2-for-1 drafts, 2-for-1 pitchers. That includes Miller Lite. $3 wells. I had someone ask me on the text on what a well is. Well, it's a cocktail. All right? Well drinks. And $3 wines. Roethlisberger will not play tonight. Dak Prescott will not play tonight, but we have football coming up in an hour and 20 minutes. Blaine Bishop is one of our favorites. He is always good to us here on the home of the Jaguars. Of course, longtime NFL player, and he is part of the radio broadcast team for the Tennessee Titans. So let's go to Nashville, and Blaine Bishop goes into the night with Rick Baloo. Blaine, good to have you back. How you been?
Hey, man, how you guys been, man? I'm doing fairly well, man. It's a nice breeze. I feel like I'm in California or something. 75 was a breeze.
Speaking of breeze, safety Brady Breeze was thrown out of practice yesterday. Nice segue there. As he lit up Dez Fitzpatrick, I didn't see the hit, but I saw a visibly upset Mike Vrabel after practice. What did you make of that?
Well, I mean, you know, he's trying to protect the players. I think Brady Breeze was a little overzealous. He didn't, protect the play. He didn't go for the ball. That, I think that was more the issue with Vrabel, and then kind of went he tried to hit him. It wasn't a kill shot by any means, but he definitely went to hit him. So I think Vrabel probably already had a conversation with the team about protecting your teammates. And, after what happened there in Carolina, I think he was just trying to be a little overly cautious. And, you know, sometimes the young players got to learn how to practice, too, at the same time. I've been there, and I think I was hitting everything that moved my rookie year. So different era, but definitely want to make sure that you protect your players at all costs.
All right, Julio Jones, haven't been there the last couple of days. What's the latest there with the Tennessee's newest acquisition?
Yeah, Julio just kind of, like, tweaked his ankle a little bit on a ball he was diving for, and I think they're just being overly cautious. I think if this was a season, he'd be practicing and wouldn't have missed a practice at all. I think, when you get to going on year 11, you don't want yourself to overcompensate and start, messing up something else. So they want to make sure he's fully healthy. He's been in this league for a long time. I think the only thing that's valuable that's missing here is trying to get, you know, chemistry with the quarterback in Tannehill.
Yeah, and, you know, Tannehill's been a top five quarterback the last couple of years. I don't know if people realize that. I mean, he consistently is over 3,500 yards and, you know, throws some more than 30 touchdowns. But when you think of Tennessee, you think of Derrick Henry and running the ball. So, you know, you lose Juju to New England, but you have Julio now. You have A.J. Brown. How about this offense, considering, you know, Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator, is now the head guy in Atlanta. Mike Vrabel promotes from within with Todd Downing. What do you believe now offensively for the Titans?
Well, I think there's a lot of expectations that they continue to put up 30 or more points a game and be as efficient as Tannehill has been with the King back there. I think with Julio, as well as they signed Joshua Reynolds, who's been actually out of practice since last Thursday. No one knows what the injury is. He just hasn't been out there yet, and he's out there watching practice. So that was another addition from the L.A. Rams. There's transition here, and naturally when a new coordinator comes in, whether it's promoting within or outside, they still want to put their stamp on what they want to do that's different than the previous coordinator. So I'm interested to see how that looks and how similar it looks to last year, or does it look somewhat similar and a little bit tweaks here or there. I don't know what they'll do, but I feel like they may have moved guys around a little bit more than they did in the past.
Visiting with former NFL player Blaine Bishop. He is part of the Tennessee Titans radio network. He goes into the night with Rick Ballew. And, you know, last year here in Jacksonville, James Robinson took 86% of the rushing attempts, and he missed two games. We know all about Derrick Henry, and his offseason workouts are legendary. Can he stay at this? Can he stay at this pace? Nearly 400 touches a year. Is there a compliment perhaps coming to Derrick Henry in the backfield?
Well, right now they kind of he's just doing a lot of sand pit work, and I don't think he's doing any team activities. He's just doing like 7-on-7, things of that nature. And he still is kind of, you know, continually being evolving as, I guess, a running back. And when I say that, I'm talking about as a receiver. He's also done a lot of catching in the offseason. And I think Darrington Evans has kind of taken all the snaps pretty much at practice. And he's kind of a third down, a little more jitterbuggy type explosive running back, a little different than Henry. So I think they're going to have a 1-2 punch that's going to be pretty interesting to see how much he gets some carries. I think the way he's showing in camp, last year he strained his hamstring in camp and never really got healed until the end of the season. Really, the last three games, you start to see his explosion again. He came back too soon. So I'm interested to see the two-headed monster with two running backs. I think we'll see a little bit of that.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And be interesting to see what happens there. All right, defensively, that is, you know, that has been the issue. I think, Tennessee 24th in points last year, right there with Jacksonville, not being able to get to the quarterback, only 19 sacks. Bud Dupree will absolutely be able to help that out. What's the early look on him?
Well, right now we haven't seen him at practice, so he has not practiced yet. He's on PUP, so we haven't seen him. Caleb Farley, the number one draft pick, the defensive back that had back surgery, just started doing the individuals this week, and he looks like a specimen, as most first-rounders do, being 6'2", 6'3", so he stands out. He kind of looks like the Derrick Henry of the running backs, but there's the DBs. The defense actually, in my opinion, have won practice more often than not. And I say that only Tannehill's thrown 5 interceptions thus far to this point in camp. They're really getting after the quarterback without hitting them with pressure. Archery has looked nice. Undrafted guy last year, Tier Tart, has looked explosive, as well as Simmons. And Jack Rabbit at cornerback has looked really impressive. Naturally, you know, Byard has looked well. So the defense actually doesn't look like the defense of last year because it's a lot of new players. So I think the defense right now is the better unit kind of like in the past where if you have OTAs and everything else, the defense is a little ahead of the offense, and that's how it looks right now.
Yeah, by the way, one of the best names in football there with Jack Rabbit Jenkins. I mean, what's there not to love with that? But, you know, Mike Vrabel kind of did what Belichick has done, you know, much of his career when, you know, let's say Matt Patricia wasn't there, Romeo Crennel wasn't there. You know, even Brian Flores, who's the head coach now in Miami, you know this play, and he wasn't technically the defensive coordinator. So he takes those responsibilities off. Again, he promotes from within. Are you saying that you think this is going to be a different look defense now?
Well, I think it still has the stamp of Vrabel, but what has been, you know, told to us and the media is there is that Shane Bowen now is actually in full control of the entire defense now. And they also have hired Jim Schwartz as kind of a quasi, you know, I guess, you know, I mean, I don't want to say quality control. This guy's a great DC in the league, but someone he can lean on and get advice from. And with Vrabel, too. So now he says he bounces around to different meeting rooms, which means he didn't do it last year. And not just he was just coaching the, you know, outside linebackers. And so we'll see, because it seems like it's translated to the defense being better. And I'm pretty sure they're still running pretty much the same thing they were running last year. Had a huge emphasis on third down at practices and red zone so far.
As we wrap things up, Blaine, I've said all along that I think Tennessee's the team to beat in the AFC South. I was surprised with the Vegas totals that had Indy, you know, a game above or a half game above as far as the totals, and obviously they got a lot of issues now with health on their offense. But, you know, overall, this football team, they've improved the last 3 years, as we said. Where are they, in your opinion, to one season ago?
Yeah, that was a little surprising for me, too. I think they had them at 9.5, and the Colts winning the division before the Carson Wentz, you know, fiasco, right, as well as in their guard as well down. But I think there still have to be, I'm with you, there have to be the favorite for the AFC South. I think they have a tough schedule, but I think they should be around 10, 11 wins again. So I think they got at least another year in them to, you know, make a push and a run in the playoffs to see if they can keep up with, naturally in the AFC, it has to be the Chiefs. So I would say they got a shot, you know, and then Cleveland and Buffalo and crew, as well as the Colts, if they get back their quarterback, is always going to be in the mix.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Blaine, thank you so much. I do appreciate it. We'll talk again during the regular season. Have a great Thursday night and enjoy that preseason game.
I appreciate it. You guys do the same. Thank you.
There he goes, Blaine Bishop. Good stuff there, a former NFL player. And again, he is part of the Tennessee Titans radio network. I would probably rank Tennessee second or third right now if I was doing, you know, power rankings in the AFC. You know, obviously Kansas City's number one, and you know, I was watching them today. We had an off day with no Jags training camp, so I just kind of lived in my bar today. No, I was not drinking. I'm a professional, but I was watching camp all morning, all afternoon. Then on my other TVs, I watched the Red Sox and that sad-ass effort in Detroit. They're just falling apart. I'm telling you right now, the Red Sox, when it's all said and done, would be fourth in the division. Okay? The experts said that they would finish fourth in the division. They got off to this great start. When it's all said and done, Tampa Bay, New York, and Toronto are all going to finish ahead of the Boston Red Sox. This is such an unlikable team. They've got no personality. And they've got terrible starting pitching and the worst defense in Major League Baseball. Get back to football. You just give me that Pavlov shock? I do. I feel like these 6 months a year, especially starting now, if I talk anything outside of football, I get like a shock in my system.
Oh, you feel something.
Yeah.
Right.
It's
bad,
like,
energy.
It's like, Boogie, don't talk about the American League East. No one cares. Get back to football. And I will. Let's see here. Blaine Bishop's had a tough schedule. They open up home with Arizona. Very intriguing. Go to Seattle in week two. Long trip. Home with Indy, at Jets, at Jacksonville. Home with Buffalo. Home with Kansas City. Wow. Yeah. He's right. Then they go to Indy. Then they go to the Rams, home of New Orleans. At New England this year, at Pittsburgh this year. So we'll see. I mean, it's wide open. And, you know, if I was doing power rankings right now in the AFC, I would go Kansas City, Buffalo, Tennessee. I think that would be the top three teams that I would rank right now. Baltimore, and they got them last year, right? Wasn't it Baltimore who knocked them off in the playoffs, if I remember correctly?
Yes,
let me
it was.
Look that up real quick. Michael Phillips is on top of it. He says, yes, it was. It was a 20-13 victory at Tennessee for Baltimore. So there you have it. That's how I'd rank it right now. I mean, subject to change. And then again, I'm not a big fan of ranking. But I just thought I'd throw that out there. I also got this involved with, let's see here, on the text line. Where did that one go that I wanted to look at? It was something about Derrick Henry. Here we go. This is from the 21-13 Baloo. Jags defense has been successful against Derrick Henry. Now there's also Julio. Hey, Julio, tell her that you love her, Julio. What was that? Was that Easy Money? Rodney Dangerfield, Joe Pesci, Monty Cappelletti?
I don't know.
Guy's hiding behind a tree, and he's getting advice on how to pick up the women who's standing up in the picture window or the bedroom window, and she's got it up, and she's like leaning out, and he's scared. He's got no game. He's got he's got Blaine Gabbert game. Okay, and he's trying to pick up this girl, and the guy behind the bush is tell her that you love her. Who do you? Tell her that you love her. And he's like, I love you. I think I'll rent. Instead of wasting my time watching the Red Sox on a Thursday afternoon, I think I'll go out and rent Easy Money. Mm-hmm. I think I'll do it. But let me get back to this question, because it's very important. I value the listeners here. Baloo, Jags defense has been successful against Derrick Henry? His Hall of Fame tape is going to be against Jacksonville. Now there's also Julio. Any word on addressing these two in 2021? Now, I just looked it up right now. Jacksonville did hold in that 33-30 loss in week two, which I hate to say it around here. I really do, because they won in week one against Indy. But remember here week two a year ago? Do you remember what happened in that 33-30 loss? I'll tell you what happened. The media and the fans gave Jacksonville a moral victory. Okay? This ain't Lane Kiffin. This ain't Butch Jones. Okay? Tennessee lives in 29 of 30 college-wise now to Alabama and Florida. Don't give me any of that crap. There's no moral victories in the NFL. Well, they got a moral victory in week two last year. 25 for 84 was Henry in that 33-30 victory over Jacksonville. It got nasty later in the year. Tennessee 31, Jacksonville 10. The tape on Derrick Henry, 26 carries, 215 yards, and a couple of touchdowns. Jacksonville was abysmal defensively last year. They only had 18 sacks. They gave up a franchise high 30.8 points a game, and they allowed 153.3 yards a game on the ground, 31st in the NFL. They are a better team against the run. I was just bragging about Devon Hamilton as one of my five ups. They are a better defensive team. Malcolm Brown, Robertson Harris, I think the new scheme in the ability to have more athleticism out on the football field. They're going to be a better defense against the run. My biggest question, once again, who is going to get to the quarterback? Okay? If you can't get to the quarterback, they're going to be able to pick apart this content. And it's a much improved content. But you've got to find a way to out-scheme there. Again, you just can't line them up and get it done. You're going to have to out-scheme them. And we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I think they will be a much better team against the run. Absolutely. And, you know, let's be honest about all this. As I get ready to head to this break,
when you score an 8 points a game, or just over 8 points a game in the first half over the last 32, over the last 2 years, I mean, just saying, every time I say that, there's a part of me that wants to puke. 8 points a game in the first half. The last 2 years, that's your average. That means when they run out of that tunnel to begin the excitement of the third quarter, you're averaging 8 points. So, what does that mean for teams? Jacksonville's going to pass the entire second half. Their opponents are going to run the entire second half and take the clock. So you can cook the books a little bit if you want. But I think just their offense being drastically improved is going to change what opposing teams do. And I think Jacksonville's going to be in games. So I expect the rushing statistics to drop considerably as far as the Jaguars team defense when it comes to defending the run. All right, let's get ready for our second hour. Let's go to Indy. Let's talk with Mike Chappell. Again, we're going around the AFC South a little bit today because the Jaguars had an off day. We'll be back at it. Full coverage on the Jags Friday morning practice from 9:45 to 11:45. But there are some issues right now in Indianapolis. No doubt about it. Carson Wentz out 5 to 12. The very latest now with that offensive line after the, you know, unfortunate injuries that they are dealing with. So let's take a look at everything that's happening with the Colts. We'll go to Mike Chappell. He'll go into the night with Rick Ballew, and that's coming up next.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, great crowd on hand despite the weather. My goodness, those lightning bolts just rocked Mr. Chubby's. But the satellites are up. Everything's working. We got football coming up in 1 hour. And again, 2-for-1 drafts, 2-for-1 pitchers here at Mr. Chubby's, the Ponte Vedra location. $3 wines, $3 wells. Good crowd on hand, but room for you. Let's go to Indy. Indianapolis. Mike Chappell is a guy that we love to talk Colts football with. He's with Fox 59. He's been kind enough to join us on a Thursday night and go into the night with Rick Ballew. Mike, good to have you back. How you been?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great tonight. Let's get right to it. The Carson Wentz injury, I guess the estimation is 5 to 12 weeks. You know, your opinion there, and how has Jacob Eason looked?
Well, 5 to 12 is one of the bigger ranges I've seen in injuries. When you're talking of, is he going to miss a month or you know, three months, it's pretty crazy. They're optimistic, which I understand. They're hoping it's closer to 5 than 12. Maybe he misses a game or two. And also keep in mind, Quentin Nelson, they're all pro left guard. Virtually the same injury, and he's got the same 5 to 12 rehab time. As far as how Jacob Eason's looking, he's looking like a guy, a fourth-round pick last year, who got virtually no work, no off-season, no preseason, nothing during the season except, you know, leftovers from Rivers and Brissett, and a guy that had 2 weeks of very light work this year because of the new off-season structure. And he's been up and down, and you know, he's done very little to ease my concerns. The good news is he's got another month to get his act together.
You know, Quentin Nelson says he's got 5 weeks to get back, and you pointed out that range. It's a very long one when you're looking at what's going on here with Carson Wentz. Are you surprised that they haven't tried to do something? Do you believe that they still may try to do something there at quarterback?
Yeah, I'm not surprised because this is kind of how they do things. If they were, I would have brought in a veteran in June. Throw a name. I don't know what the name would have been, just to ease my mind because with behind Carson Wentz during all off season, the guys they carried behind him, Eason, Tim Ehlinger, and Jalen Morton, not one of those guys has played a down in the NFL. So that would make me nervous. I really think what they're going to do, their plan is to give Eason time. They've got time, you know, if you want to be the optimist, they've got time I would like to see some really improvement. Carolina's in here next week, Thursday and Friday, for joint workouts, and then the preseason game Sunday. I think they'll have a lot better idea what they have after that. And then the last resort is finding a guy, whether it's a free agent. Blake Bortles is out there. And
yeah.
I tell you, Indy fans, he saved his best games in his entire career against Indy. It's incredible. And then there's speculation on Nick Foles, Gardner Minshew, and all that. And that would be last resort because they don't want to go get into giving up more draft picks and all that. But that would have to be that Eason just doesn't look like he's ready, that he's just not ready at all to be out there. Because you've got to be fair to the rest of the roster. I mean, if I'm 52 other players and they're carding a quarterback out there who's simply not ready and everybody knows it, what does that tell DeForest Buckner and Darius Leonard and all these guys? So, fortunately, they have – the only silver lining is this happened at this point in camp. So, they do have time. But they need to get – in my mind, Eason needs to show some steady improvement and some consistency over the next couple weeks.
Talking with Mike Chappell. He covers the Indianapolis Colts for Fox 59. I'm Rick Ballew. This is the home of the Jags, 1010 on the AM, 92.5 on the FM. The Gardner Minshew conversation has been going on here, you know, since this organization knew they were going to draft Trevor Lawrence. Typically, you don't trade guys, certainly quarterbacks, within the division. What do you think, if Ballard picks up the phone and talks to Trent Baalke, what do you think the asking price would be for Gardner Minshew?
Well, the asking price is what it is. These guys aren't going to give up more than, you know, here I am playing GM. A 6 or a 7? I mean, they've already given up a third round this year and what might be a 2nd or a 1 next year for Wentz.
Yeah.
And you just can't keep giving away draft picks, so. So I don't think now if it's a 6 or a 7 for anybody, we mentioned Minshew or Bowles for anybody. I wouldn't hesitate on a 6 or a 7 because, you know, any team can look at who they've drafted in the 6th or 7th round, and you know, unless you just happen to hit on a guy, it'd be worth doing. So I don't think they're going to do that. You know, that would be plan B or E, maybe even X or Y. But the problem is this is a pretty good roster. They've really got things in pretty good shape. Now, again, you've got a couple of injuries that are concerns, and unfortunately they're in key positions. Your left tackle, Eric Fisher, probably won't be ready until October. Quentin Nelson might miss the opener. He's your left guard. So in your quarterback, so it's key positions. But I tell you, other positions, they're in pretty good shape. A really, really good running game. A young and improving defense. It's not a star-studded receiver group, but pretty good as a whole. So it's just unfortunate for the team that they've got so many pieces in place, but except for the one that makes everything work. And
yeah,
people at Jacksonville can relate to that. You can have so many pieces in place, and if the quarterback doesn't give you what you need, it's just hard to win.
You know, Mike, Phillip Rivers made his plea yesterday. I guess he talked with Sam Farmer out in L.A. and said it would be later in the year. If that was to happen with the Colts, is that only if Carson Wentz comes back and either A, can't get healthy, or B, just stinks up the joint?
Yeah, but if that's the case, I just don't think Indy figures into that because he was talking in general coming back. And this would be after his high school season's over, which is like the end of October, and if they're playoffs, first week or two of November.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Colts, let's say if the Colts, hypothetically, when you get that deep into the season, either Wentz is back and he's playing well and you're contending, or it's just gone, you know, it's in the dumpster, and then there's no reason to bring Rivers in.
Right.
I just don't think many scenarios work for that. I do wonder what would have happened in January if the Colts had made a bigger push to bring Rivers back. I really don't think they did. They just sort of thought, if he's that much ready to retire, I don't know how strong of an idea it is to talk somebody out of retirement. But if he came back for another year this year, you don't make the trade for Wentz. I don't see how that works. And then maybe you try to have something work in the draft, and you know, maybe Justin Fields would have been there if they could have moved up. Who knows? Hindsight.
Yeah.
But I just don't think Rivers would work for what we talked about. Either the Colts aren't in contention or Wentz is playing well.
Final moment with Mike Chappell joining us, Fox 59 in Indianapolis. You know, yesterday, Mike, I asked Urban Meyer, does he know yet what he's going to do with Trevor Lawrence during opening day, you know, preseason opening day a week from Saturday, and he said he didn't. He said that they haven't had the dialogue yet, and he'll get with Daryl Bevel, he'll get with Brian Schottenheimer and make a decision. Back to Jacob Eason, okay? This guy hasn't thrown a pass, as you pointed out. Do you play him in the first preseason game, and do you play him in all the preseason games to see what he has?
Jacob Eason?
Yes.
I think he's got to play. I mean, the plan was to play him a lot because, you know, they were going to play Wentz some because he had to, but Eason had to play. The difficult thing now with Eason, you balance he needs to play because he hasn't played, yet if he's your starter, you can't put him out there too long. I mean, overexpose him and get him hurt.
So right.
When you haven't got your right tackle, you haven't got your right guard or your left guard. So it's really difficult, but he simply has to play. So Urban Meyer is not committed to starting Trevor Lawrence. Is that what you're saying?
No, he's absolutely going to be the starter, but what I'm saying is he doesn't know if he's going to play in that first preseason game a week from Saturday here against Cleveland.
Yeah. Because I remember when Peyton was here in 98, he played, and he played a lot in preseason for the obvious reasons, and you've got to get these guys ready. And I remember talking to Peyton about that rookie year, and he's hoping and praying one of these rookies breaks his interception record. That's something Trevor Lawrence can kind of point to. I think it was like 27. But he just said, Nothing prepares you more for playing long term than playing early. They stuck with him. He played every game, virtually every play, and that's how you get better. And there's going to be bumps in the road. People, keep in mind, I'm driving to Canton right now for Peyton to go into the Hall of Fame on Sunday. Keep in mind, he was 3-13 as a rookie.
Right.
He lost four games his first year with the Colts. And he did his entire career at Tennessee and in high school. So it was quite a change for him, but he would never have had it any other way.
Wow. Yeah, that's a great point. Mike, safe travels to Canton. Thank you so much. I know we'll talk during the regular season. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
There he goes, Mike Chappell, Fox 59 in Indy. And, again, he is on his way to Indianapolis. It's a different equation in Indy compared to, you know, what is going on here in Jacksonville. You've got a generational quarterback and the face of the franchise in Trevor Lawrence, and my gut tells me he won't go during the preseason matchup against the Cleveland Browns. I may be dead wrong, but in the case of Indianapolis, where Carson Wentz is your starter and he's going to be back in 5 to 12 weeks, you know, that's a real issue. And I think you've got to play Jacob Eason. You've got to give him the playing time, even though the risk of injury is certainly there. All right, we got much more to get into. Thoughts on that, 641-1010 on the text line. You can also get me on Twitter. That is Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL.
Into the Night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, Ponte Vedra, we're here. The weather and all. Mr. Chubbies. 2-for-1 drafts, 2-for-1 pitchers. That includes Miller Lite, $3 Wells, $3 Wines. Hope to see you. NFL football expected to start tonight at 8 o'clock, Canton, Ohio. Pretty cool just to see the game, you know. first of many, many contests. Cowboys, Steelers coming up tonight, 8 o'clock. I believe it's on the Fox Network. Quick reminder, tomorrow we're back out on the road. Monty's in Avondale. And I've heard a lot about it. It's a party sponsored by Miller Lite. I haven't been there. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to have $2.50 Miller Lite drafts out there, $2 bottles. So we'll see you at Monty's tomorrow night. And I'm going to have a couple of tickets that you can register for to win for that first preseason game. The Browns will be in town to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. And, you know, you got to come by, register, and we'll draw a winner towards the end. I don't think Baker Mayfield will play in that game, just like we're not going to see Dak Prescott tonight. We're not going to see Ben Roethlisberger tonight. And I understand those two veteran quarterbacks are also, particularly Prescott, battling back from the torn ACL. Roethlisberger is a guy that has been basically a walking MASH unit, although he toughs it out. So live bullets doesn't make a lot of sense. But after that conversation with Mike Chappell, boy, when you look at someone like Jacob Eason, yeah, man, you've got to play him. You do. You got to find out what you have. And I think the chances of an ex-Jaguar quarterback with the Colts is there. You know, I don't see a Gardner Minshew trade, especially after what Mike Chappell said. I mean, he's saying a sixth or seventh rounder. There's no way I trade Gardner Minshew. With what, 23 starts in the last 2 years, with full knowledge, intimate knowledge of this brand new scheme with Daryl Bevel and Brian Schottenheimer. I'm not peddling him within the division for a sixth or seventh round pick. Now, if you say, all right, well, here's a third rounder, then who cares if he knows the playbook, if you're going to serve up a third rounder. But Nick Foles, you know, he's happy being third string in Chicago. He said he didn't want to go anywhere, and I'm sure he right now with the Chicago media, Nick Foles is talking about the trials and tribulations and all of that, and, you know, we can lose here, we can go through quarterbacks there, but it's all about this, going home and seeing my family, and we'll see if he's the guy. Blake Bortles, I bet he's somewhere here, Ponte Vedra, right? The beach somewhere, probably getting in shape during the day and waiting for his phone to ring. So we shall see. Very interesting. This, you know, it will. It's going to be very interesting when it all pans out. Maybe right here now is, come on, Baloo, let me find it. This may be the text of the year. Let me find it for you. It is worth the wait. Trust me. I said a little bit earlier, Deshaun Watson has missed a couple of practices. He has the same agent that Jalen Ramsey has. And, of course, Jalen faked a back injury and lied about it for 3 weeks here in town and forced that trade. Well, the latest on Deshaun Watson is that he's missed two practices because he has tightness in the calf and ankle. I got to give it up to the 6343 on the text line who just sent me this. Do you know what would help Deshaun Watson with the calf and ankle tightness? A good massage. I mean, that is absolutely outstanding. I'm just really frustrated with myself that I wasn't talented enough to come up with something like that. That is outstanding. Absolutely. 23-42, Baloo, it still irks me that Jalen's not here with his new regime. Even though I don't condone his actions, it's worth a talking point to question the organization as a whole, considering everyone else that left as well. It just S-bombs the timing, and when he was drafted with Urban was here, he would have, I think the outcome wouldn't have been the same. Just my opinion. Yep. It was a massive screw up. But you can't avoid the fact that business wise, you didn't have to do anything with Jalen. Okay. He was getting ready for year four of his rookie deal. You had the opportunity to slap a fifth-year option on him, as the collective bargaining agreement does with first-round picks. So you could have played him, you know, for two more years. And Jacksonville had other needs. They had pressing needs. And, you know, I remember forever talking about that. I would have gotten the Yannick Ngakoue situation taken care of. You know, the Blake Bortles deal obviously affected some people. He got paid before, you know, when he probably or absolutely deserved to get that extension. He didn't need to get that extension at that particular time. But it was just a mess. And, you know, don't kid yourself. Jalen was a total pain in the ass. All right? I mean, he was. As talented as he is, he was very disruptive. And, you know, there haven't been a lot of great cornerbacks that you can point to and say, oh, they are the difference. They are the reason why you are going to a Super Bowl and winning a Super Bowl. And I understand there have been Pro Bowl, Super Bowl winners. I think of Deion Sanders and Mel Blount and Charles Woodson. And you can go on and list some guys. I think Woodson won one, didn't he? Charles Woodson? Rod Woodson won one. Anyway, it's just, I kind of feel the same way about wide receivers. I mean, the great Randy Moss didn't win in New England. Okay? I mean, to me, it's a quarterback league, and you're going to win with great quarterback play. It wasn't handled well, and only time will tell. All right? You got three bodies you can look at now. Jalen Ramsey equaled Kalavon Chaisson, Travis Etienne, and Jordan Smith. So there you go. Two of the three have never played in this league. The other was a fish out of water last year in Kalavon Chaisson. They played him wrong. And, you know, I know that some people have been down on him in camp. He hasn't had a bad camp. He's going up against a guy right now that is an absolute monster in Walker Little. And he may be that good. Don't base everything you've heard on Kalavon Chaisson not being able to get around him. But that is unfair, at least in my opinion. This Florida State recruiting on this, I don't want to get to any of that stuff. Not tonight. No, thank you. Let's see here. Yeah, exactly. He said Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Yeah, I thought the same thing when Mike Chappell was talking about Derrick Henry. He was like, well, he's not really doing, he's working off to the side. Yeah, I mean, basically put him in bubble wrap. Okay? I mean, just absolutely don't do anything with a guy like that until the regular season comes into play. I mean, he has proven his worth. I'd be very interested to see how, you know, Doug Marrone used to give a lot of player veteran days off, and frankly it didn't make much sense to me with some of those guys. But we're interested to see how Urban's going to treat it when it comes to that. Yada, yada, yeah. Let's see. This is from the 72-34 Blue. If Urban had been the coach when Jalen showed his ass on the sideline in Houston, he would have been cut before halftime and had to find his own way home. Well, that's a little extreme. He wouldn't have done that because he's a talented guy. I think Doug Marrone handled that situation about as well as any coach in the NFL could have. Those things happen, okay? Those issues happen, and that was a very selfish move by Jalen Ramsey. It was like a 3-yard completion, and he said he lost trust and all of this and all of that. It reeked of being a prima donna. It reeked of being selfish, and Jalen had a great game against Hopkins in that particular effort, but I thought that was handled the correct way. And, you know, even in the podcast that he said last week, Jalen referenced the fact that him and Coach Marrone were fine about it. You know, they were trying to force him to apologize, which Jalen says he wasn't going to do. And, you know, that really kind of led to the force of the trade when Dave Caldwell got on him, according to Jalen. Okay? So let's move aside. We'll come back. We'll go to Las Vegas and talk with Rafael Esparza, set the line on the game tonight, preseason, everything else that's coming up. But just bear in mind, just because Jalen said it in a podcast doesn't mean it's true. Okay? And I'm not taking sides here because I love Jalen. I was a huge fan of his. And I just didn't like that, you know, if he quit and he lied, why are you going to believe what he said in a podcast? He lied. He said he was injured. He wasn't. And he quit. I mean, those are awful traits. Lying, quitting, stealing. He didn't steal, but those are awful qualities of a human being if you're involved in any of that. So just because he said it doesn't mean that that was entirely the truth. You know, you have to realize that. I think you do. You're a wicked smart audience, as we say, for my parts. Rafael Esparza is next. Let's go to Vegas.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Let's go to Las Vegas. Let's do that right now as we broadcast live from Mr. Chubby's here in Ponte Vedra. 2-for-1 drafts, 2-for-1 pitchers. That includes Miller Lite, $3 Wells, $3 Wines. We're 19 minutes away from professional football starting tonight, Dallas and Pittsburgh. Rafael Esparza is our guest. He's with MyBookie, MyBookie.com. Rafael, how you doing?
Pretty good. I had to sneak outside because I'm at the NBA Summer League, and I don't think you want to hear sneakers hitting the floor and balls dribbling all around me.
I actually love that sound of the squeaky sneaks and what have it. But, I just look at your picture on Twitter. You're all suited up. When you're, posting lines, I think you'd look great in one of those gold blazers that everyone's wearing right now on Fox, Hall of Fame blazer.
I used to have a red blazer that I did interviews back in the old days when the ESPN Zone was still around. So I used to wear a red blazer. So that was my skin. It was a red blazer.
All right, there you go. What do you make of the preseason? I mean, football's back, so fans are going to gravitate to this tonight, even though the starters aren't playing. Has there been a lot of money wagered on this particular contest?
Not in this game. The Hall of Fame game usually doesn't bring in mad money because the limits are super low just because we all know it's the Hall of Fame game. We all know no one's playing. Now, it's next week with NFL preseason week one. Then the parlays are coming out. The teasers are coming out. There's only one game, unless you want to parlay with the CFL, that actually starts today as well. But not that much money will probably be waged. I mean, we'll still see a significant amount, but nothing like a normal preseason or NFL week one.
You know, Baltimore's been unbelievable. Of course, we didn't have a preseason last year, but what are they, like 15-1 in their last 16 against the spread in the preseason?
Yeah, you bet Baltimore, and you bet anything under 36 points. Because if you do that, you usually will have a really good NFL preseason.
With injuries, I just got off the phone with a reporter in Indianapolis, and I'm just trying to look for some angles here. They're going to go with Jacob Eason. I would think that most starting quarterbacks right here in Jacksonville a week from Saturday, I'd be surprised if Trevor Lawrence plays. I don't think Baker Mayfield's going to play. But they may go with a guy like Jacob Eason because they got to see if, in fact, he's a starter. Is that noteworthy to you?
It is, and take a look at a whole bunch of teams. The Pittsburgh Steelers, Haskins, he's probably going to play a lot in preseason. Look at the Saints. Who's their number one quarterback? Is it going to be Hill or is it going to be Crab Lake? So there's a whole bunch of teams that are going to be looking for starting quarterback, and they're going to be playing some preseason games. Denver with Locke and Bridgewater. So there's teams that are still looking, but there's teams you just want to sit back and maybe not touch because we all know who their first-string quarterback and their second-string quarterback is going to be.
Yeah, props, they continue to grow and grow and grow. And, the preseason props in the NFL are just off the chart, including, will Ben Roethlisberger retire at the end of the year? Will Tom Brady retire at the end of the year? Will Derek Carr be the Raiders quarterback out there in Las Vegas in a year? Will Aaron Rodgers be the quarterback in Green Bay in 2022? Do you have a feel on that type of stuff? I mean, I know it's a very long wait for the gambler, so do they turn their nose to having to wait that long in a bet like this?
They don't, because it's the NFL. Now, baseball and NBA, they'll tend to stay away from those long type of things, but the NFL, it's the NFL. They're going to bet, especially the Aaron Rodgers prop bets that we'll throw up all season long. Big Ben, I think we all can agree, Big Ben will probably be his last year, no matter how good they are. They're not going to win a Super Bowl. Tom Brady, he's going to play football until he's 50 or 60. So we always get burned on ending Tom Brady prop bets.
All right, how much have things changed in the AFC South? I remember talking to you about this a few months ago. I was actually surprised that Indy was the favorite over Tennessee. I think they were around 10 as far as the total. Tennessee was maybe 9, 9.5. But, you know, now that you've had the Carson Wentz injury, not to mention their best player, Quentin Nelson, going down as a left guard, how much has that shifted the focus there in the AFC South?
Oh, it's huge. Tennessee is now one of the bigger favorites to win that division because who knows who's going to be the quarterback of Indy and who else is going to get hurt in Indy. We all know with Houston, with their quarterback issues. So it's Tennessee, and maybe someone else can put the wool over their head and surprise in that division. But right now it's easily Tennessee to lose.
All right. What about Deshaun Watson? Is there – do you guys have a prop there as to whether or not he'll be he'll be traded before the start of the regular season, or is that something that's not even on your board?
We took it down because I'm hearing he's probably not going to get traded, but he's probably going to have a very, very long suspension. So why risk on those profits when we don't even know how long he's going to be suspended from the league? So we're just going to wait to see. I mean, if he does get traded, you might have to look at Denver, maybe Carolina back in there, might be back into it. But his trade value just plummeted.
Yeah. How's it gone with the Olympics?
Really well. I mean, let's face it, USA, some events did not prevail. Some of the track and field, the gymnastics, made some money on that. Handball made some money on that. Had some really good stuff on basketball. I think the men will win the gold, and the men will win the gold, so we'll probably get a little bit burned on that, but really good action.
What's the trend? I mean, are people betting against the United States of America? I mean, I understand that they're there to make money, but is most of it, I would think for the public, most is on the USA, but what about the sharps?
A little bit of a both. I think if you look at the U.S. ladies, they were so hated coming into this one that people were betting against them just because of all their political views or all their stance. I think the same thing with the gymnastics. So it's kind of sad to see that type of trend money coming in. But at the same time, we all know the men's were probably going to win the gold, both men's and ladies in basketball. So people are betting that. I think track and field, a lot of the sharps got lost on that one because there was some big upsets with Jamaica sweeping a lot of awards, Germany winning the relays. So I think the track and field, we made a lot of good money on it.
All right, Rafael Esparza, he's with MyBookie, MyBookie.com. It is an incredible time of year. Tell the listeners what's going on right now at MyBookie.
57 sign-up bonus still over at MyBookie. Like I said, preseason really kicks off next week with the Hall of Fame game today. But don't forget, CFL starts this week. Or just today as well. Jump over to my book and get that Houston sign up. But don't forget UFC this weekend, a big heavyweight bout also on the board. So a whole bunch of stuff you can bet on all weekend long.
Rafael, thank you as always. We'll pick it up again next Thursday.
Take it easy. Have a great weekend.
There you go. Rafael Esparza, live from Las Vegas. MyBookie, MyBookie.com. Yeah, it's a, you know, my disclaimer that I say each and every week, is that I don't bet anymore. I love the game, love the process, but it just feels greasy to me that people would bet against the United States. You know, when I think the Olympics, I think a ton of things, but I don't think wagering. And you know, I don't get too deep into any other sport where that doesn't come to mind to me. It's just part of what has that, you know, what sports have become is what I'm trying to say. But boy, with the Olympics, it just never really came to mind. And I saw today what you know, the comments that former President Trump said today about the bronze medal and just going nuts about everything that is woke is fails. And so they're legitimately were people betting against the USA women's soccer team because of that. And I guess I was kind of lost in the shuffle, probably because I'm so deeply enthralled with everything that's going on with training camp. And you know, I was in Charlotte a couple weeks ago for the ACC meeting. I And I'll say this. I don't know why, but the Olympics just don't seem to mean as much to me now as they did when I was growing up. I've always liked the Winter Olympics more than the Summer Olympics, but disappointing to me that politics now taking over rooting for members of the United States, that's really bizarre if you think about it. All right, let's take our final break of the night. We'll come back, put our final touches on things, set things up for Friday. Jerry Jones just announced that Jimmy Johnson will be inducted into the Cowboys Ring of Honor. We're 10 minutes away from preseason football tonight in Canton, Ohio. Cowboys, Steelers.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, final thoughts here tonight from Mr. Chubbies in Pontevedra. We want to thank everyone for making this thing run. Producer R.J. Saunders, Michael Phillips back in the studios. You know, the rain's been unbelievable. I was sort of supposed to rain all day. And, you know, I wanted to go out and play some golf. It's an off day. I was kind of hoping there was training camp today. I was sitting around. I was bored to death. And, you know, again, I sat around and watched training camp all day. I mean, the NFL Network's live 8 hours coverage is just out of this world. I mean, it is awesome. And, you know, I made the mistake of putting on the Red Sox as well, which I complained about a little bit earlier, but it didn't rain in Bartram today. Did it rain at Hogan? Did it rain over there? I mean, did the rest of the city get hit?
It rained a little bit over in on Hogan.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, certainly it's picked up here in Pontevedra. So, hey, I said that Jalen didn't steal. I said that he lied and that he you know, he lied, and certainly you can make the case that he cheated the fans. And some guy said, yeah, he absolutely stole. He stole 3 game checks from Shad Khan. So I guess if you look at it that way, that is a great point. That is 65-38. Got a bunch of Olympic stuff here. I hated to end with that. You know, as always, folks, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm never going to sugarcoat it. I just have not watch the Olympics this year. I don't know what it is. And there's some Jacksonville representation in this year's Olympics. It has nothing to do with politics. Nothing at all. I'm trying to figure that out. Maybe I'll give that some thought tonight after the show. I mean, I grew up and I love the Olympics. You know, the 76 Olympics in Montreal. One of my favorite moments was you know, the boxing there with Sugar Ray Leonard and, you know, the Spinks brothers and all of that. I loved boxing back then. And, you know, certainly Bruce Jenner winning the decathlon was very cool. I've always navigated more towards the Winter Olympics ahead of the Summer Olympics. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the professional folks who've been in now for too long. I've heard a lot of complaints about the NBA basketball team. It looks like they've righted that ship, though. They're playing better basketball.
Yeah, although they had a rough first half, I should
right.
say.
Then they won like a 28-4 run or something.
And it's Kevin Durant, I mean, really holding the team upright. So hopefully you can win. I mean, you had your issues against France. I believe they beat you during the exhibition game. So hopefully the U.S. Can ride this ship and bring home the gold. We don't know yet.
Yeah, we'll find out what happens coming up. All right, that's going to do it, folks. Enjoy the football game tonight if you have that opportunity. If not, no, it's preseason. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow night, 6 to 8. Make sure you join us out in Avondale. Folks out there, we haven't seen you guys in a while. You gals in a while, all right? 6 to 8, Monty's. Out of Monty Shores, all right? Liquors. We're going to have 2 tickets, Browns visiting the Jags a week from Saturday. You can register to win those. We'll be out there tomorrow, myself and RJ Saunders. That'll be from 6 until 8 o'clock. It is a party brought to you by Miller Lite. That's going to do it. Thank you to Mike Chappell. Thank you to Blaine Bishop, for RJ Saunders, and Mike Phillips. My name is Rick Ballew. We'll talk tomorrow, 6 to 8, live from Monty's in Avondale.